Praise the Lord. Title this morning, A Target Too Strong for Our Weak Hands. Trust the Holy Spirit will minister to our lives today and renew our vision, renew our spirit for the Lord in a fresh way. Let's turn to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Reading verses 22 to 24. One of the words, which is a prophecy over Joseph, man called Joseph. Bible says in Genesis 49 and verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, Christ the shepherd, and the stone, the rock of Israel. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. I want us to note those three items in that verse. A fruitful bough, a well, and a wall. The Lord wants us to be a fruitful people. He wants us to be a fruitful church. And to be a fruitful bough, you have to have a well and you have to have a wall. And so I want to touch on those this morning, but first to speak of the fruitfulness of the Lord upon our life. Joseph is a fruitful bough. The Lord wants each of us to have a vision of fruitfulness in our lives, that God wants to use us, that God has abundant fruitfulness for every person that digs in with God and really comes into a call and destiny of the Lord. Joseph is my father. Joseph is my brother. Joseph is me in this passage today, because this prophetic word over Joseph and the other sons goes out across all of God's people. In the New Testament book of James, which in the Greek is Jacob, Jacob is prophesying over 12 tribes scattered abroad, which we know are not the literal natural tribes of Israel. He was speaking to the people of God, the true Israel of God. And the prophecies that we're looking at this morning are for each of us. And we should say amen to the word of God today. My name is Joseph. That's what you should say in your heart. My name is Joseph, and God wants me to be a fruitful branch, that we would bring forth fruit, that we would increase and multiply, the Bible says, that our fruit would go over the wall, that it would be found in places we're not even aware of, because our lives are rooted by a well and because we're protected by a wall. The Bible says we are to add to our faith 7 golden qualities in 2 Peter chapter 1. 7 golden qualities that as we add the Christ-like character, as we add the fruit of the Spirit, as we add the ministry of the Holy Spirit into our lives, we become fruitful, that we would not be barren, that we would not see drought, but our lives would be fruitful for the Lord. When Joseph was born, Rachel said these words. She called him Joseph, meaning he will add. But she said these words in Genesis 30, "The Lord will add to me. The Lord will add to me." His name is Joseph. Your name is Joseph today, and you need to say, "The Lord will add to me." There are things that God wants to add to our lives that we cannot add on our own. We can stay at our natural level, at our natural ingenuity, but the Lord wants to touch us with his presence so we become fruitful in a supernatural, miraculous way, far more than we could ever produce in our own life. The Lord will add to you. The Lord will add to you. Now, you may look at your life this morning and say, "There's been a lot of subtraction in my life," and maybe there has been, but there is vision in God, and the Lord wants you to know he will add to you. Whatever state you are in today, he will wash away your brokenness. He will touch your wounded spirit. He will touch that area of brokenness in your life and bring forth fruitfulness as you begin to labor with the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord will add to us. Jesus said, I'm going to touch your lives and ordain you so you will bring forth fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. He said 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. The Lord will add to us. It's no wonder our lives end up being so full of the abundant blessing of God and the fruitfulness of the Lord as the years go by, because the Lord has been adding to us. The Lord has been adding to us. fruitful boughs, a vision for the future, a vision for your children and grandchildren, a vision for the generation to come. The Lord wants to make us fruitful. A fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. To be fruitful, you need a well. And to be fruitful, you need to be protected by a wall. Fruitfulness requires a well and a wall. The well speaks of our worship, our expression before the Lord, the flow of life-giving rivers that flow out of us. That's the well. And the wall is our defense. It's our protection. We need to be protected and defended by the Lord and by certain doctrines and truths and certain spiritual components of our life. It's like the armor of God in another image. We need a protection and we need a flow of life-giving water. Now, the enemy wants to stop up our well and he wants to break down our walls. Because if he can stop the well and he can break the walls, he will roam freely and devour, and there will be no fruitfulness on our life. We must protect the well, and we must protect the wall of our life. Let's look at a few scriptures. John 4:14. Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." A life-giving spring of water. That's the well inside of us. That's the salvation promise. That's the new creation that we are in Christ. And there is a well inside of us, and we must say, "Spring up, O well, spring up, O well." Isaiah 12:3-4, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. With joy we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And we say, praise the Lord." There's utterance on our lips. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." There's praise, there's worship, there's song, there's shouting, there's acclamation and declaration that flows out of our spirit. And the wells flow, the waters flow, and because of it, our branch is fruitful. I know with all my heart that our level of fruitfulness is much determined by our level of worship. That's where the utterance is. That's where the almighty flow of God is in our lives. And then we have Genesis 26. Speaks of Isaac. "For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him." The enemy envies you. The enemy envies us. The devil envies us because he knows the great call of God on our lives. He knows what we're destined for. He knows how blessed we are. He knows how the Lord wants to use us. And he envies us. And he tries to plug our well. See, jealousy has desire in it, but envy has destruction in it. The enemy hates what is going on in our lives. He hates the goodness of God. He does not want to see us blessed and fruitful for the Lord. And like Isaac, the enemy comes to stop up the well. "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the day of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." The enemy wants to plug the well. The enemy wants to dry up the well. The enemy wants to keep the fervency, the praise, the worship, the life-giving flow out of our spirit. But we understand today, spring up, oh well. Nobody's going to stop my praises. Nobody's going to stop me from rejoicing and blessing the Lord. Out of the wells of salvation with joy, I will draw living water and I will say, praise the Lord. I will shout unto God. I will make mention that his name is exalted. Hallelujah. That's the utterance of the righteous. The well of salvation, life-giving waters that produce fruitfulness for us and cause our branches to go over the wall. And then we have the wall itself. The wall speaks of defense. It speaks of protection. We must be protected as the planting of the Lord. And God has given us defenses. God has given us armor. God has given a secure place for us where we rest in Him. And we need to take care of the wall because, again, the enemy wants to break down our wall so the beasts of the field can roam free and plunder. The lion and the wild boar and the beasts of the field come through and they take our harvest. The wall is something that we build up in God Himself. The wall is certain areas of truth and doctrine and experience that we must build around our lives. Isaiah 60 and verse 18 says, "You shall call your walls salvation." When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, there is a wall that goes about us. It's the salvation of the Lord, and it's a protection. Before that time, the enemy came at will into our lives. He ruled us, but when we accepted Jesus Christ, there was a protection, a wall came about us, a wall of salvation. There's also the wall of water baptism that's built around our life. For Exodus 14 and verse 23 says, when the children of Israel were water baptized in the Red Sea, that the waters were a wall unto them. They were a wall unto them. Some of you are being baptized tonight in water. And there is a protection that's going up around your life. We must take care of the wall, or the enemies will roam free. Then we have Zechariah 2 and verse 5, where it says, the Lord will be a wall of fire round about us. The fire speaks of the Holy Spirit. The Lord will be a wall of fire about us. We need a Pentecostal baptism. We need an Acts 2:4 experience complete with speaking in other tongues, where the fire of God becomes a wall and a protection about us. Hallelujah. Experience with the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Bible says, repent and be baptized in water and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is a wall. There's a protection. We know that tithing and offerings are a wall. Malachi 3 says, when we tithe and give the Lord His rightful 10% and offerings above that at our generosity, that there is a defense that comes about our life. There is a protection, a salvation of the Lord that comes about our lives and our finances and our work in the earth. And we have, of course, the wall of holiness, righteousness, where we are separated unto the Lord, and we do not dabble and we do not indulge the entertainments of this world with their poison, with their incipient immorality. We abstain from that, and because of that, there is a wall that goes up around our life. It's a wall of righteousness. See, the enemy cannot penetrate holiness. But where there is sin, where we are unguarded, where there's immorality, where we break down in our confessions of faith, in those areas, the enemy can come through. The enemy can come through and plunder. But when we stand in holiness and righteousness, he cannot penetrate the holiness of the Lord, the armor of righteousness upon us. We must take care of the wall of our life. Take care of the wall. This morning, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Guard the well and guard the wall so you can live a fruitful life for the Lord. Psalm 80, verses 11 to 13 speaks of Israel, the people of God. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The bear out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field does devour it. Because of sinfulness in the lives of God's people, the hedge and the wall was broken down, and the beast came. Proverbs 24, 30 to 31, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. A wall that was there, but had been broken down. A Christian that became sluggish, a Christian that became slothful, uncaring, inattentive to their spiritual life and their fruitfulness. And because of it, the wall was broken down. Psalms 51, 18, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Build the walls of Jerusalem. And today, that we would take care of the well. We would take care of the wall of our life, and that we would ask the Lord to bring increased fruitfulness upon our life. Now back to Genesis 49, verses 22 to 23. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Verse 23 follows on verse 22. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Verse 23, right after verse 22, a promise of fruitfulness on Joseph's life, a fruitful bough, a well, a wall, a life blessed of God, where God would add to him. And immediately in verse 23, we are made aware of a warfare. If we are going to set our lives for kingdom fruitfulness, to accomplish a work with God, then we must know that we will endure a warfare, because there is an enemy who wants to sorely grieve us and shoot at us. There is an enemy that hates us. And as we see in this passage, that the target that God has set for us is too strong for our weak hands. What God has called us to do, the fruitfulness that God has destined for our lives, is beyond us. We do not have the strength, and that's why we need the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Joseph's arrow that was to hit the target, he couldn't pull that bow for his own life. He couldn't hit the target that God wanted him to hit on his own strength. He needed the hands of God, and so he yielded to the hands of God, and the hands of God came upon his life. This is a miracle work. This is a supernatural work that we're under. We are under the mighty hand of God, and on our own, we will never hit the target. We will never hit the fruitfulness that God determines for us, only by his power and by his hands coming upon our life. Joseph was a young man, and he had a dream of God. He had a vision of how God wanted to use him. You know, he was yearning for fruitfulness in the earth. He wanted to accomplish. He wanted to be involved with God in the earth. He didn't want to just exist, live and die. He wanted to accomplish something in the Spirit of God. He wanted the blessing of his fathers. He wanted spiritual inheritance. And there he was, a young man, 17 years of age. He wasn't originating something of his own imagination, some dreams. But the dreams that came to his life were dreams of God. They came by visions of the Holy Spirit. And those dreams were in two areas. He received two dreams. One, a dream of sheaves of golden grain. And the other, a dream of sun, moon, and stars. And I pray that we will have vision of the same today. That we will take Joseph's dreams and say, I must dream those dreams in God myself. I will take that to my life. The first dream he had was sheaves of grain, the harvest field of the earth. Come on. The reaping of the harvest of the earth. Men and women that would come to God, souls that would be saved. He said, I've got a dream. I want to touch this world. I want to populate heaven. I want to reach lives for the kingdom of God. Psalm 126 says, he that goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, bringing his sheaves with him. Joseph had a dream of sheaves, sheaves that were bowing down, sheaves of ripened grain, that he would be involved with the harvest of the earth, and that every one of us would have the same. For Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's the great commission to every person. That every one of us would have a burden for souls on our heart. And that we would labor for God in our prayers in the world, in our finances to the world. Maybe some of us won't be on the missions fields of the earth. Maybe we won't be sent. But there are others sent in our place. And we are one with them as they go and labor. And what a harvest field we have right here in our own church. Sons and daughters. People that are new converts. People that need to be brought into the kingdom of God. And so we labor in the house of God to bring forth the harvest. And then he had a dream of sun, moon, and stars. My. Sun, moon, and stars. To rule by day and by night. The sun, moon, and stars speak of authority. They speak of rulership. They speak of this authority to do something, to change conditions. Sun, moon, and stars, Genesis 1 says, are there to rule the day and the night. They are there to give light on the earth. They are there to give direction to people on the earth. And Joseph understood, I'm called to carry some rulership in my life, to bring change to a dark world, to bring some restoration to some nations, to bring some revival to people, and to, as it says in the Psalms, that he was there to teach the elders of Egypt wisdom, that God would set his life in a place of rulership so that he could bring some change to a broken world. He could feed a world in famine. And there are businessmen and there are businesswomen in this place today that God has put a target out for you because he wants to shoot you out so you can change some nations and you can change some brokenness and turn back some famines in the earth. The prosperity of the Lord, the prospering of businesses for kingdom finances so there can be some rulership and lives can change and conditions can change. A target too strong for our weak hands. Hallelujah. Only by the power of God, only by the miracle, and that's the wonder of it, that we can live in the miracle of the Lord. We can live life more abundantly. Joseph, a target too strong for his weak hands. And you know how his life began as those dreams came. And he was perplexed and he was rejected by his brothers and his own family didn't understand the great call of God on his life. He was despised and he was separate from his brethren, and Joseph himself didn't understand everything that was going on in his life, the processing. But Psalm 105, verse 17 to 19 says that the word of the Lord was testing him and trying him for a number of years. The word of the Lord was testing him, building some strength into him as he overcame his own weakness and by the power of God as he cast himself on the Lord. There was some refining going on in Joseph's own life, and the target was too strong for his weak hands. He needed the hands of God. He needed the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, or he would have fallen far from the target God had for him. But he began to submit himself under the mighty hand of God. He said, the Lord is with me, the Lord is with me. He cast himself on the presence of God. He had some struggles, he had some questions, he had some trial. But he'd always cast himself on the Lord. And he overcame the flesh life. And he overcame immorality. And he overcame the test of time and the wear of circumstances against him. And because he did, because he remained faithful, he hit the target. God shot him out. The arrows of the Lord's deliverance. He hit the target and he became fruitful for the Lord in the place God had for him. I want us to understand this morning that the target God has for us is too strong for us, every person here. That the Lord has a destiny of fruitfulness, that the Lord wants to use us in this life, and that we must allow the Lord to shoot us out, and to launch out with the Lord, beyond what we can do, or beyond what we're capable of. Say, Lord, what you've given, that vision in my spirit, there is no way that is possible except by the power of your spirit. Now let your hands come upon me. Let your Holy Spirit empower me. We're so aware of our limitation, our human inability. We are so aware of our weakness. And there's nothing wrong to admit it. We should admit it and say, Lord, this is who I am, but I'm trusting in you now for the power of God. You have to take my life. You have to shoot me forth so I can be a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. I look at this church and the ministry of Christ City. It's a target too strong for our weak hands. It's far too strong for our weak hands. the finances, the ministry, the call, the world endeavors. It's far beyond our weak hands. And so we call out for the presence and power of God. It's His hands. And that's why we live a miracle life every week. We walk on water because of the call of God. We walk on water in the worship ministry because there's a target that the Lord wants us to hit. We walk on water with the ministry of the children, with the missions, with the finances. Only the hands of God can strengthen us and help us. Joseph hit the mark because he was faithful and he yielded his life under the hands of the Lord. Psalm 18:34. My, this is a verse. David said, "He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms." No man can break a bow of steel. Only in the power of God can you bend a bow of steel, as some translations say, and even break it. See, it's one thing to have a wooden bow in your hand, and that arrow can shoot with a certain velocity and a certain distance, but when you have a bow of steel, my, does that arrow launch? And David said, The Lord teaches my hands to war. He says, I can't do this on my own, but the Lord teaches me to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arm. Psalm 144 and verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. The Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. The Lord is our strength on this call of God on our lives, on this vision, on this future, on this prophetic destiny that is on each of our lives. And I pray that our eyes and our ears and our hearts would open, because the Bible says God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh in the last days. And sons and daughters, all of them will have a prophetic spirit. That is, they will have eyes that see beyond the natural. They will have hearts that burn beyond natural things, but for supernatural things. And old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. God said, this is for handmaidens. This is for men servants. I don't want one of my people left out in the New Testament church. I don't want one person sitting in the seat saying, I don't have a destiny. I don't have a purpose. I don't have a vision. God wants every one of us to revive our souls today and to get on with the call of God. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Let God give vision and stir desire in your hearts today. Then we have 1 Samuel 20 and verse 22. I love this verse. There's a prophetic word in this verse. It relates to David in a time that he was to flee from Saul and run as a fugitive. But a covenant brother, Jonathan, said these words, and there's a prophetic inflection in these words. He said to David, but if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond you, then David, go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. If I say, the arrows are beyond you, David, then you go your way, for the Lord has sent thee away. What a word by Jonathan. A man who loved David as he loved his own soul. Jonathan said to David, and this is the prophetic inflection here, David, the arrows are beyond you. David, you want to settle down into relative ease. You want a place of relative peace here in the nation. But what God has for you, David, is far beyond what you see right now. The arrows are beyond you, and you're going to have to run, and you're going to have to go, because where God is shooting you is somewhere that you do not even see for yourself at this time, David. There's a call of God on your life, and because of it, you have to go through processing, and because of it, you will go through trial, and because of it, you will run as a fugitive for years, but God will be working, and there's a target out ahead that you can't even see. You could never hit on your own, but if you will submit yourself under the mighty hands of God, He will pull that bow with you, and you will strike the target, and you will be everything God wants you to be. Hallelujah. Come on, take it in this morning. Take it in this morning. Don't live a lesser life. Don't live at a peaceful state in yourself. Just try to shore up your life and stay comfortable and stay secure. God wants to put a dream in you of how you can pray for people and intercede for nations, how you can give your finances for widows and orphans and missions and for the work of God in this land, how you can begin to identify with the local church and pour your strength and ministry and power into the church so this land can see a demonstration of the power of God, so that the church of Jesus Christ no longer lives under reproach as a forsaken woman, but she's fruitful and she's powerful and she's strong, and people speak of the glory of the house of the Lord. Jesus. The enemy wants to take your vision, and the flesh wants to take your zeal. The enemy wants to take your vision, and the flesh wants to take your zeal. And so I have two verses. 1 Samuel 11:1-2. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, this is the enemy, came up against God's people. The enemy said, or the men said, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon Israel. The enemy said, I want your right eye so you can't look down the bow. So you can't shoot and be the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Nahash means the serpent. It couldn't be clearer. Nahash, the serpent has come up. The serpent wants your right eye. The serpent wants your vision. So you live, but you're no longer any threat to him. You're just taking care of life. You're eating and drinking and living your life every day. You're going about your business, but you have no kingdom mandate, no kingdom power in you. He wants your vision. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The enemy wants our vision. No, these people of God were ready to bargain with the enemy. And if he had asked for some lesser bargain, they might have acquiesced. But they said one thing: enemy, when you come to take our vision, sorry, it's over. We will fight you to the death. You can try and take this and that, but don't you strip us of our vision. We will rise up and we will contend for the promises of God. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see, Jesus said. Vision would come alive. Vision would come alive. Perhaps there's some here this morning that your eyes have become clouded or dull. You've lost vision. You've lost the purpose of what God has called you to do. You had great desire in your heart, but years of time have worn down and situations have come. Let the Lord renew your vision. Say, enemy, you will not take my right eye. I will look down the bow again, and I will shoot the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and I will hit my mark in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The enemy wants your vision, and the flesh wants your zeal. The flesh wants your zeal. Your flesh life wants your zeal. So you shoot, but it doesn't have intensity. Yeah, you shoot the arrow, but it doesn't go very far. There's no power behind it, no strength behind it. But you could say, well, I shot the arrow. But you didn't shoot it the way the Lord said. Because the Lord doesn't want a blind and maimed sacrifice. The Lord wants a perfect sacrifice. He wants a pure sacrifice. 2 Kings 13:18-19. Pulling these two verses out of the story of Joash and Elisha, where the king was to take the arrows. But suffice it for these scriptures. He said, take the arrows. Elisha the prophet said, take the arrows. And the king took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice three times and stopped and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, you should have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till you had consumed it. Whereas now you shall smite Syria but thrice. King of Israel, when the prophetic word came, prophet's word came, you should have emptied the quiver. Five or six arrows was a quiver of arrows. You should have emptied the quiver. This king shot three arrows and stayed. The flesh life took him down. He didn't bring forth the zeal. The Bible says of Jesus, the zeal of God's house has consumed him. The zeal of God's house. The Apostle Paul said we are not to be lagging in zeal. See, the flesh life wants to bring us back. It wants to tone us down, to keep us from a full implementation of the things of God in our life. And the flesh includes our sluggish physical body. The flesh we war against includes our sluggish physical body that wants to stay in bed, that wants to stay on the couch, that wants to come in late. The flesh wants to break your zeal so you don't hit the mark. I pray this morning that the Lord gives us understanding. We've got an enemy that fights our vision, and we have a flesh life and a physical body that fights our zeal. But in the name of the Lord, hands stronger than our hands can come upon our lives and shoot us out as the arrows of the Lord's deliverance. Would you stand this morning? I want to read a few scriptures for you and have you take them into your spirit today. I want to again read Genesis 49 and verse 24 concerning Joseph. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Right now, as we're standing here, let's ask for the hand of the Lord to come upon us. Ask for the hand of the Lord to come upon you. Make a sincere call, and I'm going to share a few scriptures that speak of this in the Bible and how important it is. 1 Kings 18 and verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. Young man named Jabez. He called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my inheritance, and that your hand might be with me, and that thou would keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. God granted him that which he requested. Lord, that your hand might be with me. And God granted him his request. Ezra 7 and verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. A secular king gave Ezra, a man of God, all his request because of the hand of the Lord that was upon him. There are some of you that are going to receive favor by secular institutions and people because the hand of the Lord is upon you. You say, hand of the Lord, be upon me today. Not because of your ingenuity, not because of your manners and protocol and ability. Yes, that's there, obviously. But favor because of the hand of the Lord upon your life. Nehemiah 2 and verse 8, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he might give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. According to the good hand of my God upon me. Psalm 118, verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles, in the tents, in the homes of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord still does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3. The word of the Lord that came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I close with 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, in due season. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Cast yourself in the presence of the Lord. Be a worship warrior and a prayer partner. Take care of the well of worship, desire, of abundant fruitfulness before the Lord. Take care of the wall, the defenses about your life in the Spirit. Put a prayer shield about your life. Fortify your life with godly finances and holy character and righteousness and doctrines of the Christian faith. Say, I humble myself under your hand, Lord. Found in your house, I'm found in your presence, I'm found among your people. I cast my life in your presence. And the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. He will exalt you. You don't have to take care of yourself. He will exalt you. He will promote you. He will put you where he wants you in due season, in due time. What a rest we have in the Lord. Now this morning, let's ask the hand of the Lord to come upon us. Make it your prayer. Say, hand of the Lord, come upon my life. Like Joseph, Lord, let your hands come on the bow. The target is too strong for my weak hands. This Christian life you've called me to live, this godly destiny for my family, this raising of a godly seed, this kingdom mandate, these sheaves that need to be brought in from the fields, Lord, this rulership of God that needs to go out to the nations of the world, it's a target too great. It's too strong for us. So we ask for your hand upon our lives this morning. I believe this is a prophetic moment this morning. If you will, by a spirit of faith, receive this word. Receive this word. Your life will change. God will wash away the brokenness. God will wash away the memories and the tears that have held you and bound you. Say, hand of the Lord, come upon me. I'm crying out before this house today to hand of the Lord, come upon my life. The target is too great for my weak hands. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you this morning that want to slip down to the altars, you say, I need the hand of the Lord on my life in a special way. I want the prayers of God's people. I want the laying on of hands this morning. Come, whoever you are. See, I need the hands of God on me. I want to hit the target. I don't want to lose my vision. I don't want to become sluggish because of my physical systems and the flesh life that seems to war against me so incessantly. Come and receive of the Lord today. Come and receive of the Lord. Put yourself in the presence of God here at this altar. Say, Lord, I'm asking for your hand to come powerfully, as it did on Ezekiel, as it did on Elijah, as it did on Joseph, as it did on Ezra and Nehemiah. They are men and women like me, and I need your hand. I need your touch. Take a few moments in the presence of God. Renew your life. Renew your spirit. Renew your heart. Truth is, every one of us know of that deep call of God in our spirit, but we're so aware of the forces that try and hold us back. This morning, hand of the Lord, miracle hand of the Lord, be upon our lives. We can make a difference in this world. And Hit the mark. Hit the mark for God. Hallelujah.